Good evening, good evening. Well, I had a different lesson to present to all of you tonight. And about a half hour before I came over here, it blew up on me. So you're getting a different lesson than I intended, but that's okay. All the lessons, I hope, are from God's Word. Therefore, they're all lessons we can learn from. We just sang that song, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. And I really do appreciate that song. In the world that we live in today, it's critical that we all are learning ourselves to be servants like Joshua and the things that he spoke of. In Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse 14, Joshua, we read these words, Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know, the people, they said in verse 16, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And sadly, that's exactly what they did. Many people today forsake God's word to serve God, the gods of man. And we need to be careful that we understand in part what it really does mean to serve. In Romans chapter 12 and at verse 1, Paul writes these words, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our reasonable service there in the context is a spiritual service. The word latreion is used for service. And that word always points back to a religious kind of service. And so it has to do with the service that we have within the church, whether we're serving as teachers or whether we're serving communion on Sunday or preaching or teaching a lesson. It has a lot and pretty much everything to do with the kind of service that we do. Service unto the Lord. And so when we think about that service, we always want to remember to say thank you to all who serve. Our Father of all, from the very beginning, had a plan to serve all of us, to come down from the heavens, to be born of a virgin, to walk among us and to serve us. And as we also need to thank all those in the past that have served the church so well, not only preachers, but teachers, as I mentioned before, and those who go out and evangelize, all serving well in a very religious sense. And so we would say thank you for your service. That is that reasonable service. And we need to remember to say thank you to all the members of the body who serve God in these spiritual ways. And we want to think about how the apostles served God. You know, the apostle Peter, the apostle Paul, James, the brother of Jesus, and all those different apostles in the first century that served God by going out and preaching the good news. That's a way to serve God. And of course, we would say to Paul, if we could meet him today, thank you, Paul, for your service. In the world that we live in, many things are turned upside down as far as service is concerned. Many people, they don't look at service in the way in which we look at it through the eyes of faith. You know, in Isaiah chapter 5 and in verse 20, he said we're familiar with those that, you know, people that call evil good and they call light dark. And they don't understand the very simple things about service. Even in the first century when Paul was preaching the goodness of Jesus, I imagine there's nothing negative that Paul would preach about Jesus. So it had to be the goodness of Jesus, the power of Jesus to save, his blood on the cross. And he was preaching that to a group that were not really willing to hear. And when that happened, the Jews, they got a riot going, and they decided they were going to take Paul by force. And in fact, what they did is they took Jason, an affiliate of Paul's, a friend of Paul's, and they drug them off into prison. And we read in Acts chapter 17 and at verse 6 exactly what they did. They claimed that Paul and his associates were saying things that were turning the world upside down, and they were trying to have them put in prison. And again, thank you, Paul, for your service. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, James and John, and all those who served in that first century. We should be thankful because their spiritual service is one reason why the church exists today. And so today we want to investigate just a little bit about a life of service. You know, as Christians, we're all servants. We're all servants of Christ. Paul refers to himself as, in the book of Romans chapter 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And we've known the word bondservant is someone who is literally bought and paid for, someone who is under obligation. They don't belong to themselves anymore. And that's why Paul later on in Galatians wrote those words that he had been crucified with Christ. The life which he now lived at that time, he didn't live to himself, but he lived by Christ who lives in him. And so that's what it means to be a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And in fact, we are all bond servants. We need to look at ourselves as servants of Christ. The price that purchased us, of course, was the blood of Christ. You know, go back to that thought, the being a servant. The price that purchased us was his blood. It was, you know, it was our master, Jesus Christ. He said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If we're going to love God that way, love our neighbors ourselves, we need to be humble. We need to be servants. We need to be a people who put all our focus and all our attention on God. And we need to praise God in every way, shape, or form. In the book of Psalm 150, verse 6, we read all kinds of words that relate to service. At verse 6, the psalmist, and he writes these words, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then he says, praise the Lord. We praise God for all that he's done for us, all the things that he came down from heaven to do for us, to serve us. He deserves our praise. And so we must be committed to that great commandment to serve, to love God with all of our mind, our soul, with all of our heart. To be able to keep the commandments of God is one way in which we serve God as God's people. And we also want to consider the words in Matthew chapter verse 28, Jesus said that the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served. So if God came down from heaven with the heart and the desire to serve mankind, we also should have that same mind and same heart. Again, if we love God with all that is in us, serving Him is the most important step we can take. And so each of us must be committed to that great command. And Jesus not only spoke the words, but He was a doer of the word. He showed us through His example of how He served God the Father, how He served each and every soul that was on the earth at that time, and how He lives literally to serve now in heaven. When He was here, He served by, of course, bringing us the good news of the kingdom, but He also served through suffering. He also served us as one who healed the lame, those who were blind, those who could not hear, those who could not speak, those who were crippled or leopered. Jesus went around and fed the hungry. He was literally the greatest example we have of a servant. And truly the Son of Man, you know, he came to serve and to give His life a ransom at the same time. Our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, He was willing to serve us. And in a very complete sense, He was willing to do that. And so what do we do in reflection of what the apostles did, what Jesus did? So we want to consider what's involved in our serving God. And it all starts with having the right attitude. The right attitude to serve God. We have to realize that God is great. He's our Redeemer. He has a plan for us. And as we serve Him as Christians, we have that right attitude of sacrifice, service, will inevitably end in the saving of our souls. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Those are the words of James, a servant of God. And he's helping us to have that pure heart, that good conscience, that pure faith that is acceptable service to God. Not a defiled heart, not a heart that is selfish and self-pleasing and self-willed. The purpose of the commandment, according to Paul, is love from a pure heart and a good conscience from sincere faith. Paul said that, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And all these things come together to help us to have this pure heart. You know, a pure heart has no ulterior motives. A pure heart isn't the kind of heart that says, feed me. A pure heart is the kind of heart that reaches out to feed others. And remember Jesus. I'll turn over to the book of Romans with me, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I think Jesus made it extremely clear the way Paul writes this. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul, he writes these words, for when we were still without strength. Question. If I'm without strength, am I able to do for myself? And the answer is no. You know, a hospital bed is for people who are without strength. In fact, if you take it, wheelchairs for somebody who hasn't got the strength to stand up. There are people that don't have the strength and ability to feed themselves. Here God says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, Jesus, one of his purpose for coming to the earth was to die on a cross for those of us who could not save ourselves. He died on that cross while we were without strength. He came to serve those lost souls, and that includes me, because indeed I was without strength, and in fact I still am without strength. Without the love and the purpose behind Christ and the message of God, I would be a miserable person. And so we have this from the apostle, these words. Christ, when we were without strength, Christ died for us. And, you know, acceptable service, when you think about that, it has to come from a pure heart. And so also a good conscience means that we don't have guilt. It means that we've done whatever we could do to serve one another, to serve Christ, to serve our Father. We can lay our heads down on the pillow at night when we serve God this manner, when we love God with all that we are. We can lay our heads down on that pillow and we can go to sleep knowing that we've done all that we can that day to serve God and to serve God's people. That's a comforting thought. It's something that gives us that, it's part of that peace that surpasses all understanding. That, what it means is I treat Chuck the same way that I treat Mary. I don't make any, I'm not a respecter of persons. That love of God, the way he displayed his love to me, is the same way that I must display my love to all other people. And faith in service means that nothing's left out. Nothing's added. We simply serve according to spirit and in truth. And another necessity in the element of serving is humbleness. I would venture to say that this is one of the greatest aspects of Christianity. Now, over the years, Christians have displayed humbleness in many situations, in wartime and in peace. Of course, during the first century and following, in the dispersions of the saints, in Micah chapter 6 and at verse 8, Micah says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to have mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Those are attributes of a godly servant that is humble in their hearts. The Old Testament passage, it conveys that eternal principle of serving God justly, with mercy, and with humility. Look at 2 Chronicles, if you will, chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Remember that text. It begins with those wonderful words, if my people. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people when we take these words to heart. He says, you have to go to the right book to hear what he said. There we go. Second Chronicles, not first. So, Second Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name, And we talked about this in a Christian sense this morning, that we wear the name of Christ. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We need to be a people who are humbled, serving God, not ourselves. James says, humble yourselves in the sight of God, in sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And so all these are attributes. Jesus, of course, in John chapter 13 at verse 15, he says, I have given you an example. What did he do? He humbled himself. And he says, what I've done to you, you should do to one another. Serving, humbling with a pure heart. Unselfishness is really important. Let nothing done through selfish ambition or conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than themselves. Is that not what Jesus did for us when he came down to serve and to seek and save the lost? He certainly, let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That's where that thought comes from. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others greater than himself. Let each of you look out not only for the things of his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Again, that's how we serve, in an unselfish way. While we're reading, let's go over to Romans chapter 12 and read verses 10 through 13. And I'll start with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. All part of an unselfish mindset that God had toward us and we need to have towards one another and the world outside. Christians must not have a me first attitude, not a selfish attitude, but we want to be like our master, be like Jesus Christ and go and serve others just like he did. Sacrificial attitude. Romans chapter 12 and at verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so daily, if we would ask ourselves, am I firmly committed to this kind of service? Am I dedicated to serving God the way in which he and his saints have served? And if we are, then we must have that attitude of no sacrifice is too great. You know, the harder it is, the greater the service. No sacrifice is too great. In Romans, Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to do what? To be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bond servant. Our example, our Jesus, our Christ, that sacrificial attitude that he had, taking on the form of a bond servant. In other words, man, coming in the likeness of man. And having been found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we ask ourselves, was that death on the cross, was what Jesus did for us, humbling himself in that way, is there any greater service? Is there anything that I could do, you could do, or the entire world could do that would match the pure heart, the humble mind, the unselfishness, and the sacrifice of Christ? And obviously the answer to that question would be no. And so nothing can take the place of sacrificing for others, for one another, for doing things for people that is a little bit hard. But when we think about Jesus and what he did for us, a little bit hard is nothing. Our Creator did not make it easy for Jesus. And so we need to serve others with that right kind of attitude. And so how will the Christian serve the Master? In Isaiah chapter 43 and at verse 7, Isaiah, he writes, everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. And so we have been made to serve. We have been made to love, to be obedient to God's will, to obey his commands. You know, the apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, he's writing to the church and he says, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages without end. And so we need to be that way. We need to be a people who are serving others as God served us. And what's the best way to serve the Master is by obeying his commands, by studying his word, by sharing the gospel with other people. Mark 16 and verse 15, go out into all the world and preach to every creature. That's a way of serving God. And those things are clearly seen as we look. And, you know, by serving others, there's great benefit in serving others. We go out into the world, we preach the gospel to every creature, and Lord willing, people will believe and be baptized. People who can believe. There's great advantages when we serve God, as in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The church grew. People's fellowship together in Christ and in spiritual ways was strengthened. And people relied upon one another as they sought to serve God, having a life of service. What better way is there to do good? I don't think there is a better way. To share the gospel with everyone that you meet. Finally, I want you to consider in the early church what they did. They engaged in worship according to the Spirit and truth. We talked about that this morning in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 42, we realized that they were following the examples of the apostles who were there preaching Jesus to them. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and of prayers. In Acts rather 20 and verse 7, we realize that they came together on the first day of the week. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, they came together to worship God in spirit and truth. We talked about that this morning. And so just in a conclusion, we have an example in Christ. We know that they were out. They were doing the work that they were called to do. That they turned from idols to serve the true and the living God, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so that's the thing that we want to do We want to edify one another. We want to serve God. And we certainly want to be in heaven with God in the after while. And so because, or I should say, if we love the Master, we'll serve Him. And we'll serve brethren. And we'll serve the community. We'll reach out to our neighbors and our friends and even people that we don't know. Our service will be focused on God and Christ. Our service will be generated by our love for one another, by our love for God and our love for Christ. And, you know, good godly advice, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And by doing those things, God will be well pleased. We remember the greatness of God and how He came down from the glories of heaven to serve us, His people. So let us focus and think, meditate on what it really means for God to make us a servant. The song, before we have the song of invitation that I thought of just before coming up is called the Servant Song. And we listen to these words and take them to heart. Make me a servant just like your Son. We talked about that tonight, how Jesus was a servant to God and to man. For He was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant, to make me like you. If there's anyone here this evening that has not obeyed the gospel, tonight is a very good night to do so. We just don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who is in control of tomorrow. And if we've not been a servant, if we've not been right in the eyes of God, we can change that tonight too. Simply make that faithful confession and be restored once again in service and in love with the Lord. If you have a need this night, please come forward now as we stand.